I hope that you're enjoying these studies in Ephesians as much as I am. This is a tremendous book. I think of how Paul was a man of about 60 years of age, and he was awaiting trial in Rome, and the Lord used him to give us this beautiful and tremendous book of teaching concerning the Christian life. I want to read now in Ephesians chapter 4, and beginning with verse 14, or rather I should say chapter 3 and verse 14. We concluded last time with the first 13 verses of chapter 3, and as we came to the end, Paul was rejoicing in this gospel, rejoicing in the fact that in Christ we have access and confidence in the Lord Jesus. We come boldly into the presence of God Himself through our Savior. Now, we start with verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, that you may be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inward man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, to the end that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be strong to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, unto all generations, forever and ever. You remember that in the first 13 verses of this chapter, Paul is talking about the proclamation of the church. What is the message the church proclaims? Well, it's the gospel. It's the message about Christ Himself, and it's the message, too, that gives an invitation to all, Gentile, Jew, those that have been moral, those that have been immoral. The invitation goes out to all to come to God through Christ, to repent, to believe, and to be saved. And the unique truth that was revealed to Paul and these others, to the apostles, he says in verse 5, was that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, fellow members of the body, fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. If I receive Christ and I'm a Gentile, Paul says, I come in on the same footing into the family of God as if I had been a devout Jew, as if I'd been circumcised and been keeping all the ritual and so forth of Judaism of that day. In Christ, there's no difference. And this was a truth that was very new to the Jews and was difficult for some of them to accept. Even as today, it sometimes is difficult for people who've lived good lives, who've been church members, who haven't done anything too terribly wrong, to accept the fact that a person who has been an immoral, wicked person can be saved and become just as much a part of the body of Christ, be just as sure of heaven as they, with all of their going to church and being good. Because we're all sinners and we all need a Savior, and there's just one way of salvation, and that's through Him, through faith in the Lord Jesus and in His death for us. Now, the next section, beginning with verse 14, is a prayer of Paul. He's praying for these Christians. And he says, I bow my knees unto the Father. The Father, he says, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named. When we become Christians, we become aware of the fact that we are children of God. We become aware that God is our Father. And you remember Jesus when he told his disciples to pray, and he gave them that model prayer. in Matthew, he said, you pray, our Father, which art in heaven. And Paul could say that God has sent forth the Spirit into our hearts crying, Abba, Father, in Romans 8. So that here there is this realization, when I accept the Lord Jesus, the realization, now I'm a part of God's family. And I can come to Him, and I can pray, and I can know that intimate relationship of a child with a father that loves him and cares for him and will do anything for him. This is the close, loving relationship Christians know with their father. And he says every family relationship is really based on the fact that God is our creator, is the father of all, and he is the one that gives meaning to all relationships, that every human relationship based on love has its source in God. Where do we get the loving relationship that should mark a family? Well, Paul says, really, it has its origin in God. God is love. Any thoughts you may have of affection, of love, in your family relationship, he says, really, is based on the fact that God is love, and he is the one who, above all, is the Father. So that Paul says, now I'm praying to him, and this is the content of my prayer. What does Paul pray for? Now, many times when we pray, we're concerned about our material needs. We say, well, I need a new car, I need a home, I need a job. We think of many material needs. We may think of health needs. We may say, Lord, you know, I'm sick. You know, I have problems with arthritis, or I have this difficulty or that. And these are things we should pray for. Our Father is concerned for these. But that isn't our basic problem. It isn't what we need most of all. Our basic problem, the greatest need we have, is spiritual. And so Paul says, as I pray for you, I pray that you may be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inward man. Paul says, I just want to see you become strong inwardly, spiritually. And so he prays for them in this way. Now, we are weak because of sin. In Romans 5, he says, when we were without strength, or when we were weak, Christ died for us. And so we know what it is to have real weakness in our lives because of sin. When we become Christians, our sins are paid for. We know that we're on our way to heaven, but we're still here in this life, and we still have that old flesh. We have that old nature. And so we have struggles, and we have problems overcoming sin. And yet there are resources. We have God on our side now. And the whole last of Romans 8 emphasizes this: if God be for us, who can be against us? And as he begins Romans 8, he says what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh. In other words, through human flesh, the weakness of human flesh, the inability of human flesh to keep the law. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He judged sin, he condemned sin in the body of Jesus. And because of that, we can be saved. But now that we're saved, in Romans 8:4, he says, that the ordinance or the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And what he's saying here is that which we could not do in our flesh, we were weak because of that sinful nature. Now God, giving us the Holy Spirit, who comes to indwell us, this Holy Spirit, this very nature and power of God indwelling me as a Christian, now will enable me to live the kind of life I should. The Christian has resources, has tremendous resources, infinite resources, God himself. And Paul says, I am praying that you'll be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inward man, that you'll become strong, vital in your Christianity, inwardly, that your Christianity will be a vibrant, overcoming Christianity. There's too much defeatism amongst Christians today. In fact, there are many who just adopt the attitude, well, I'm just a sinner. I'm saved. I know Christ died for me, and I'm going to heaven when I die. But in the meantime, I'll just kind of bungle along, and I'll fail, and I'll make the mistakes, and I'll keep doing the same things over. I have a temper. I'll never get over that. I have a problem with drinking. Well, I'll just probably struggle with that. I have a problem with smoking. That'll probably plague me until it finally gets me. It does me in. And we have a defeatist mentality. That doesn't mark the teaching of the New Testament at all. Paul here says, the power of the Holy Spirit working in you, strengthening you, empowering you, that's what I'm praying for. I hope that if you're a Christian and listening to my voice, that you know something of this power. God does not want you to live an impoverished, broken life. God wants you to be overcoming sin in your life. God wants you to be showing more and more the fruit of the Spirit, for your life to be that which brings glory to Him and is a blessing to others. Oh, Christian friend, I hope as you're listening to my voice, you haven't given up and your attitude is, well, I'll just never overcome sin. I'm just a sinner. I'm just weak. I'll just keep making the same mistakes over and over. I'll never overcome my temper. I'll never overcome this jealousy. I'll never overcome lust in my heart. I'll just be beaten by this until finally I die, and that'll be the deliverance. Paul says, I pray that you may be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inward man. There's too much of this encouraging people to think that there is nothing more than simply accepting Christ as your Savior and then just kind of stumbling along as a sinner until you die, and that's when you're going to really know some deliverance and some blessing. The words would say, and Paul would pray, and he would make this prayer for you, I want to see you strengthened with power in the inward man. And I do hope that you know something of this power. I heard of a young Christian, one who just accepted the Lord, and he had the habit of smoking. Now, it's not the worst thing, but it's destructive to your body, and your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. And he got concerned about it. He got convicted, and he went to see a preacher. And he said to him, look, he said, I'm having this struggle giving up smoking. I really feel the Lord wants me to. And what can I do? The preacher said to him, oh, he said, I wouldn't worry about it. He said, you're just a sinner. You'll have weakness. You'll have problems. And that'll be it till you die. Is that what God tells us? Is that all the hope there is for the Christian? No, Paul says, I pray for you that you'll be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inward man. God wants you. He wants me. To know that strength to overcome sin and to live for Him. May the Lord help us to do.